What's going on, Rebels? I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Cisco.
And we are the Black Series Rebels, and you're listening to the BSR Show. And this week, we're just hanging out.
Rebels, Steve here. Before we get this thing off and rolling, I just want to say thank you all for supporting the show. And, you know, if you really, truly do like us, just, I don't know, hit a like button, leave a review, subscribe, you know, just... Click it, you know what I'm saying? Click it, don't tick it.
Click it and click it.
Five stars only.
And we are done.
We're off to a good start. And right as I said that, it went to 420 on our episode mark. So that's how you know we're going to have a good conversation tonight. We were like, should we talk about Moon Knight? We were like, we could do some stuff. And then we thought, we haven't caught up in a long time. We haven't really just had a good old-fashioned conversation episode like old school year or so ago. Cisco, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Work has been a little stressing me out recently, but the Dodgers have been making me feel happy.
That's good.
I've been enjoying the NBA playoffs because
Warriors are making me happy.
The Warriors are looking really good. I'm thoroughly enjoying the NBA playoffs. I think part of it is that the Lakers aren't in it, you know. So
you just can enjoy it. Now you're just watching basketball. Yeah.
Yep. And I have some teams that I like, like the Warriors, like the Bulls, that, you know, if they won, I'd be happy about. It's just, they're super fun to watch. They're exciting. The first round is always exciting because, like, you know, the teams that are still building up are, you know, they're fighting hard and, you know, they got some young guys that are fun to watch. So, yeah, that's been cool.
You gonna watch that Magic Johnson doc?
I am, absolutely. It starts today, I think, right?
Yeah. Just right before we hopped on, I saw a headline that said Magic Johnson gets the Last Dance treatment, but it's like almost making it seem like it's better.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm super curious about it, you know, because him and Kareem and I think some other players have been pretty critical about winning time.
Oh, everybody has.
And so, but everybody West, that watches right? it says they love it. Oh, Jerry Buss for
Jerry
sure.
Busfield.
Yeah, I mean, not Jerry Buss, Jerry West. Yeah.
Yeah.
But people that watch it say they really like it and enjoy. I haven't started watching it.
I watched
it yet,
the first two episodes, and it's one of those ones that I've heard that, like, it's the fourth episode that everything turns and they find their groove, supposedly. You know, sure. It takes a minute to get used to. It's definitely a character.
Yeah.
You know, it's very sure. Adam McKay.
Yeah. Which I think can be cool. So yeah, I'll probably end up getting to that eventually, but I am very curious about the Magic Doc. So I'll be checking that out. And then the wifey and I have been making plans to, I don't think it's going to be tomorrow, but maybe Sunday, go watch something, which I think will probably end up being Massive Weight, The Unbearable.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Massive Talent.
You're going that over Northman.
I want to go see Northman. She doesn't want to. So I think.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. So it'll be either next week, I'll probably go by myself to go see either Northman or Ambulance. It'll probably be Northman first.
Go see Northman.
But I want to see Ambulance. We can talk about it, but I want to see it. I want to see it in the theater.
All right, Steve, what have you been up to, buddy?
You know, work has slowed down. And I have started to, ever since I snuck off and saw Scream, I sort of have been going, you know what? This is a nice little thing. I go when everyone's asleep. I somehow manage to stay awake. And so I've been going to the movies a little bit more often. I told you guys how I snuck off to see Everything Everywhere. And then this week I snuck off and went and saw Ambulance. Which I didn't realize was the title.
Ambulance Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was really weird. I didn't realize it until... the credits, the title on the thing came up, and it literally was like ambulance, but LA in capital letters, and it was like,
oh, really, did you not notice that?
And then when the movie ended, it did it again, and I was like, oh, that's no, because all the posters,
I didn't notice it.
All the posters I've seen around town, it just looks like IMAX the movie because it just says IMAX.
Yeah, that's really weird. All the posters say IMAX for it, bigger than ambulance. Yeah, I think I wanted to see it. I was going to see it last week just because it just feels like a great way to just like turn off your
brain. Why I went.
And
then let me tell you, no brain is necessary.
Yeah. And once we got to this week now with the unbearable weight of massive talent
and Northman,
it's a good, and I'm like, ambulance might get shoved below those. I think I'm going to do Northman first.
I got to tell you, it's been really good last couple of weeks.
Got good movies coming out.
And then in 2 weeks, we got Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah. It's been
And then you got Top Gun, right?
It's been a really good spring for movies.
Yeah, man. We're like...
This year has been
I said to Amber last night, and I know this is early calling it, I haven't seen Northman yet. I haven't seen Unbearable Weight, or as I call it, the Nick Cage movie. But I feel like between Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Northman, and... the Nick Cage movie. I think these are going to go down as three like classics that are going to inspire some kids that are like 13 or 14 right now. I think these are going to be the posters on their walls.
Alex, go ahead.
I said this actually to a friend of the pod, Matt Martin. We were talking about Robert Eggers specifically. Because I was like, "Are you guys got your tickets for The Northman yet?" He said, "Oh yeah, we got them Thursday night. Super excited." And I just said, I feel like Robert Eggers and now Daniels and I think Ari Aster a little bit, the Safdie brothers. I think we're in a bit of a renaissance right now. I think we're going to be talking about this era of filmmaking.
This is the class, right?
Yeah, we're clicking into a new gear. We're moving. Oh, put Jordan Peele at the top of that list. He's a little older than some of those folks, but put Jordan Peele at the top of that list personally.
I feel like he's the tail end of the last class.
You think?
I think he's the end of, yeah, I do. I think he caps off what Edgar started.
I was going to say he fits in with like Villeneuve.
He's part of that class.
Sure. I guess he's on, but I mean, Eggers is on movie 3 too.
Yeah, but I just feel
they're
like
different. They're super low. Different.
I think it's different.
I don't know. I personally would put Jordan in the... I would also have to look at the years in which, like, where their first movies
Just... It throws us off with Jordan Peele because he's been doing stuff for so long.
Yes.
You know, so it's not like he's new to it.
He's already a brand.
Yeah. He was already a huge star before Get Out came out. And then Get Out absolutely just changed what we think Jordan Peele is. Like, in an instant, he went from maybe the funniest sketch comedian working on TV to maybe the greatest new filmmaker working in film.
He might be like sort of the bridge, you know, like the bridge between the last generation and this new generation.
I think that, and maybe even more so than any of like who's the class and who's this, I think that, and this is not, and I want to reiterate what I'm saying here, because like this is a show, we talk about a lot of IP, but you can feel that there's a little bit of this like energy for original storytelling right now. People are starting to kind of desire it a little bit. I can kind of feel it in the like, and maybe it's just because we're super plugged into the letterbox world of it all. And like maybe film Twitter is kind of turning left towards that a little bit for a while. Maybe just the pandemic has kind of wanted people to kind of get out and have like an event that feels different and fresh and new. I don't know. Whatever that is, I feel like right now with everything, like you said, Steve, Northman, massive talent, and even Nope coming out in July, we've got like a lot of really exciting original stories coming out.
Right. And I feel like a lot of them are getting a lot more, they're not getting as drowned out because we still technically are kind of still in this weird thing going on. And so I feel like a lot of the noise that would normally be out at the same time as a lot of these movies is not there. And so a lot of these movies are actually getting a shot at being not just one weekend and being done. They're actually getting some time right now to benefit off of what's happening is word of mouth, because it's sort of,
they're getting event
time. There's a moment that just, it kind of feels nice. And yeah, we're still able to get our superhero movies.
Totally. You know? Exactly. It's like the best of both worlds. Yeah, like, it feels good. Doctor Strange is going to be awesome. And you're going to be able to ride Doctor Strange out from, like, right after Northman. What were you going to say, Cisco, as we started kind of fading off there?
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I think that, everything that you guys said is absolutely true. And I think that, you know, one of the nice things that has come out of the last 2 years is that Hollywood being semi-shut down sort of created an opportunity for movies with these smaller budgets to be made and, you know, have a little time to breathe. And now we're starting to see the fruits of those labors.
Yes.
You know, and so, so it's, I don't think it's any coincidence that this year so far has been a banger when it comes to movies that have come out, and a lot of them have been smaller budgets, or yeah, not, maybe not even smaller budgets, but just like not existing IP, not big studio stuff.
Well, they're not massive budgets. The Marvel movies are like what, in the 140 range. And I think Everything Everywhere All at Once was 40, right? So it's, or less.
Yeah.
Like 25.
Yeah, and I mean, last year, you know, Green Knight had like a tiny budget.
Yes, Green Knight, I think, was 10 million.
Do you think Green Knight would have done better coming out right now than had it come out?
I don't know. It's such a weird movie. You know, I don't know. I don't know that it would have necessarily done much better. I think it's a very, it probably would have done, like, imagine if The Tragedy of Macbeth had been released in theaters wide. You know what I mean? It probably would have done similar numbers, which is like, it's the audience that it's made for will go see it. And I think that when it came out, I think that it probably benefited from being like kind of the only thing being out at the time. And so people were like, oh, let me go watch it in the theater, even though I don't know that much about it.
Yeah, so I think maybe it also, I don't know about you, Cisco, because you and I were kind of pretty hyped for that one. And I feel like for me, I don't know that it was necessarily just that I was hyped for the Green Knight as much as I was like, oh man, the Green Knight in theaters. Cause I think I had only seen like Fast 9 at that point. Like it was like nothing. We really were still like, it was like Quiet Place 2, Fast 9, and then Black Widow. But like Black Widow premiered on Disney Plus at the exact same time, right? Like it wasn't hard to, right? If I'm remembering correctly, mm-hmm. Was it at the same time?
Yeah, it was.
It was. Yeah. So like,
yeah, well, it was for that premium price or whatever.
Yeah, a little. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. The premiere where you could spend like $20 or whatever and you accessed it to your account. Yeah. For me, like Green Knight was it was right before I think everybody was, not everybody, people were starting to get comfortable going.
Yeah. It was
back
right at the like cusp of it. Because it was the first thing I went to go see in a theater.
Now, okay. So we're talking about, we've got Northman, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, and we've got Doctor Strange coming up. If you had to, you know, gun to head, hand to heart, the three of us each get one. What are you picking? Can you answer that?
To watch in a theater?
Yeah.
Doctor Strange. If I had to pick one, it'd be Doctor Strange.
To watch in the theater?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve.
Hold on. Out of the list we just picked,
out of this year. Out of this year. Sorry.
Just those three you said.
Oh, sorry. No. Rewind. Of that's coming this year that you know of. So this includes your Top Guns. This includes your Nopes, your Thor Love and Thunders.
Oh man.
There we go. Now it's a little tougher. Cisco's like Doctor Strange. Like no question, the first one. Let's start with you, Steve. I feel like I know the answer for Steve.
Mm-mm. No, I'm pulling up a list right now real quick. Hold on.
I think I'm going to say Maverick.
Okay. That's what I thought you were going to say. I felt like when I said, no, but don't forget Top Gun Maverick. It was.
I got so excited when I saw that trailer. Oh man, but in also the theaters, Thor: Love and Thunder looks fucking dope too.
That trailer is bananas in theaters. That Top Gun trailer, Maverick.
Oh yeah,
in theaters is just like inject it right into my eyeballs. Like I'm just ready for the amount of movie star I'm ready to have sweating in front of me on this.
I was talking to they released a little short kind of like vignette of Tom Cruise talking about like, oh yeah, you know, we thought it was really important, and you know, I didn't want to do a sequel unless we could like do it right, and I wanted to get the people up in actual fighter jets and blah blah, right? And so I was talking about it with my buddies, my other nerd chat, and I was like, can you, I don't even know if I can fathom the amount of clout it would take for a huge star to go to a studio and be like, we're taking the entire cast, putting them in fighter jets, but taking them, you know, supersonic, you know, in the air, and you're not going to fucking do shit about it. Not only are you not going to do shit about it, you're going to pay for it. And we're going to shoot this shit like as practical as possible. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Tom wants to fly some of the jets.
Yeah.
Tom wants to use real missiles.
Can you, like, that's gotta be Tom, right? Tom's gotta be like, all right, look, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna say, I wanna fly F-14 or F-15 Tomcat, whatever it is. I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna be like, I wanna fly this thing myself. And then the studio's gonna tell me no. But it's okay, because what I really want is to be able to just get everybody up there and shoot it. You guys are going to be your own camera person when you're in the cockpit.
Yes.
We're going to do all this shit. You guys are going to do it. That's what we really want. But I'm going to say, I'm going to fly this shit just so they can tell me no, so that we can be like, okay, fine, we'll settle for this compromise.
Yeah.
That's like that in my mind, that's like what the logical part of him was saying. But, you know, he probably was like, no, I want to fly a jet.
All right, Steve, after looking at the list, what is it? It can be the same as Cisco if you got all excited.
Petite Maman. Maverick sounds amazing. I probably would have said the Spider-Verse sequel, but that just got pushed today to 2023. There's Nope.
I will chime in there. My answer is Nope. Nope is 100% my answer. Have you guys had a chance to see that trailer in the theater yet?
Dudes,
yeah.
That trailer in theaters.
Whole
other level.
First day.
Whole other level.
I would do horrible things to see that movie.
You don't
want to
see Avatar 2?
I'm not going to see it.
Oh, come on.
Is that coming this year?
Yeah, it's coming
Christmas,
out.
Christmas, baby.
Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, listen. James Cameron, I feel like every movie he has that is about to come out, everybody says, sounds dumb, never going to see it. And then it makes like $1 trillion and changes cinema. So like, I'll cut the guy some slack. He seems to know what he's doing, but also like, let's be real.
I know what Steve's answer is going to be.
Avatar 2 looks bunk. Oh yeah, Jurassic World Dominion. Yeah, dude, Steve's got front row seats to that.
If I'm being honest, looking at the entirety of the list, what absolutely is a must see in theaters, like the one movie that is just no matter what, it has to be seen on the biggest fucking screen possible. And look, Cisco already fucking said it.
Yeah, it's Top Gun.
Out of the list of movies, if there's one movie that just, it's the only one that you're like, that has to be seen in a movie theater, that's the one.
I feel like that movie. Now, I know Spider-Man made a lot of money. I think that movie's actually going to do some serious damage at the box office, because everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. People that are like, I'm never going back to a theater, I guarantee you will be like, I'm finding a drive-in.
Tom Cruise is going to unite the United States of America.
Hey, man. It's a joke, right? It's like, whatever. But there's like, on one hand, I could count the movies that impacted me as like a young person in a significant way, and Top Gun is one of them. And yeah. I just watched it the other night when we were talking about it, just joking, and it's just as like, I enjoy it just as much.
Still,
I feel like it's just as impactful. All of that aerial dogfighting shit is incredible.
Guys,
it just looks so fucking cool. And that movie was made in 1989 or whatever it was, right?
I want you to imagine little 15-year-old Fat Steve, 15 and a half, working at Paramount's Great America in Northern California, walking behind the scenes, like eating a breakfast burrito with his bright blue jacket and bad pleated khaki pants, his uniform, walking behind the scenes to go open up the kiosk.
Top Gun the Ride.
And you just know, well, no, but Top Gun the Ride was just around the corner, and you're just walking and you just hear, like, mm-hmm. What is that, Joe Satriani?
Steve's just like tapping his foot, bro. Like eating.
Soup,
eating a corn
dog. It's the Michael Bay. It's the Michael Bay shot. It's a slow walk. It just then Kenny just Loggins like, kicks in.
Yep.
Take my breath away. Bro. Ba-da-da,
bro. Just ba-da-da. Making waxed hands all day. That plan.
Just got it all. Come
on. Yeah, I mean, we're not wrong. That is absolutely the one.
Let me ask something. Are we gonna get a soundtrack full of like covers?
It probably won't be as good, but I gotta say this. I don't know if you guys recognize this or not, because maybe this is just like a super Top Gun nerd thing, but I was so curious about the character that Jennifer Connelly was playing. I was like, who is she? And I looked it up on IMDb. Her name is Peggy Benjamin, and she is a character. She is a name that is mentioned in the first 10 minutes of the original Top Gun movie.
What?
I don't know if you guys remember the monologue after they come back from saving Cougar.
Is she fucking Homeboy's daughter?
No. So after Maverick and Goose save Cougar and they're getting chewed out by the, what is he, Admiral?
The guy from Back to the Future.
Yeah. So he's chewing them out and he's talking about the high speed passes on the air control towers. And then he says, and one Admiral's daughter. And then Goose looks over to Maverick and says, Peggy Benjamin. It's like the most probably obscure fucking trivia shit ever. That's the character that she's playing.
I wonder if like,
that's an attention to detail.
I watch this movie a lot. I'm not embarrassed
about
how many times
I'm just saying the screenwriters like clearly.
Well, they had to bring somebody, right? Because Kelly McGillis isn't coming back.
Yeah, and they also gotta like, you know, that movie does need a little bit of fan service. Like
that
movie is kind of built for like, if there's not a shirtless volleyball scene, like what are we doing? Yeah. Like it needs to have a little bit of that. Like, we know what you love about Top Gun. It's
it's gonna have all that.
Well, they already tease a similar scene in the trailer as the volleyball.
Yeah, they have a football. It's like a touch football scene that they're going to have on the beach. But it's there like, you know, all of them. But Miles Teller doesn't have his shirt off.
I knew he'd be weak. You got, dude, if same. You sign up for Top Gun, weak. You better go get yoked for that volleyball scene. I want oily men.
Yeah.
Like the amount of sweat that needs now, to be in Top Gun 2.
There is a lot of that. But I will say that his dad in the original Top Gun didn't take his shirt off and was not oiled up.
It's true. Anthony Edwards.
So there you go. Maybe it's an homage. Like, hey, I don't take my shirt off.
Anthony Edwards, the most he would go was cut off sleeves.
You know, too. You know.
Goose is in We Crashed, by the way.
You know that him and Goose's son are going up. Like, you know he's going up with him and Goose is going to fly with it. And like, and you know, it's going
to
be like,
oh, they have this to.
You know, he's going to throw the Goose call sign on and where everyone's going to go, blah, it's going to go ballistic.
Do we get a Meg Ryan cameo?
I could see that.
Oh, for sure.
I think that would be great.
She hasn't worked. She hasn't done anything in a good long while. Huh?
She did something a couple years ago, but she's.
Is there
she's
a reason?
Like, not doing it as much.
Is there a reason? Is she a weirdo now or?
I know there was a plastic surgery issue.
I also know too.
Get around that shit.
She had and again, this is none of my business, but she had a little bit of an affair and maybe had a moment with Russell Crowe where things she was like.
Oh, that was
doing
25 years ago.
Yeah, but check the IMDb since then.
Oh, she had stuff. She had stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
Yeah. You're not crazy, but that was. All good.
Young Meg Ryan. Hey, speaking, let's we can all agree that young Meg Ryan was a vibe, though.
Oh, Meg Ryan is a vibe.
Hey, I'm gonna say this. Meg Ryan is a total vibe, but also like straight up, maybe the worst walker on the planet.
Walker.
Walker. Watch You've Got Mail. Because it's, okay. They're like, trust me, I love it. It's my favorite romantic comedy. It's a strange walk. Got a Jar Jar energy, like a natural kind of, like arms are kind of really moving.
I have a weird thing to admit. I have never seen You've Got Mail.
What are you talking about? Dave Chappelle and Tom Hanks doing scene work?
I've never seen anything. She did another one with Tom Hanks, right? I haven't seen either one of those. Yeah.
Sleepless in Seattle?
Yep. Nope. Didn't see either one of those. And I haven't seen the one with her and Billy Crystal either.
When Harry Met Sally?
Yep. Nope.
Joe versus the Volcano?
Seen that.
Of course you've seen that one.
Yep. Joe versus the Volcano.
Of course you've seen that one. That will feature in that.
I'm more of an Inner Space guy when it comes to Meg Ryan.
I got you. Dennis Quaid, Martin Short. I'm with you. I feel you.
Yep.
It's a great box title at VHS. Speaking of Miles Teller, next week, are you guys interested in the new limited series on the making of The Godfather called The Offer?
I'll probably pass on that.
I got to see the reviews. If people start telling me it's amazing, I'll check it out. But I don't feel a desire to watch a movie, a show about the making of The Godfather.
Miles Teller is dangerously close to Max Landis territory when it comes to things I'll watch with him in it.
Really?
Maverick's going to get into it's going to give him an easy pass because Tom Cruise is in it. But he's approaching that realm.
Okay. He's like an asshole, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I know.
I don't know. I've never met him personally. I don't know.
True.
But from what I've seen on the Twitters, it doesn't seem like he's a very.
Yeah. Well, him and Jonah had a whole thing on War Dogs 2 that came out. Like, it was like a whole thing. And Jonah, like, I remember I was listening to an interview with Jonah and he like just didn't want to talk about it. He's like, and then, you know, in the most Jonah Hill way ever, he's like, yeah, you know, like everybody's got their own vibe. Like,
He's probably very much like how Seth Rogen is when people want to bring up James Franco. It's just like,
yeah,
let it go already.
Yeah, like I can't really like engage with this.
I saw a funny tweet today that like that made me laugh. It's sort of in the same vein, which is like it had a picture of Ezra Miller, it had a picture of Amber Heard, and it had a picture of Evangeline Lilly, and then it had a picture of Letitia Wright, and it said something like, oh, the press tours for these movies are going to be pretty interesting.
Yes. I mean, yes. Yeah.
I laughed. I was like, oh, dude. Yeah. Like, none of those people are going to be on of those press tours. They're going to be sequestered.
If West Side Story was able to do it without Ansel Elgort.
Like, that happened right before, though.
It happened like a year before.
No, yes. I don't think so. Oh, I thought the news came out like right before.
No, it happened well before.
No, it happened a long time before. He was able to kind of shuck it. And then he couldn't once West Side Story came out.
And he wasn't really in that the promo for
the movie.
No, they kept him off the tour.
And he's been – and I didn't even realize that he was in Tokyo Vice.
That's why I said that last week to you guys.
Somebody told me.
I said that to you guys last week when I was like, Well, they're also making a – Oscar Isaac's also doing a movie where he's playing Francis Ford Coppola in a movie about the making of The Godfather.
Now, see that, I'll see.
Yeah, ha, there we go.
Hey, listen, put Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal and everything. I'll watch it.
Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal. Right now, Robert Pattinson. He's on that list for me. I'm loving this Pattinson vibe.
You watching Batman on HBO Max yet?
I haven't yet.
I purchased it on my iTunes. I was like, I'm going in. I'm getting. Are you waiting for a steelbook on that one, Cisco, or will you just watch that on HBO Max?
I probably will skip the steelbook on that one. Yeah.
Got it.
I slept on the steelbook for the No Way Home, but I ended up just getting the regular, I think Target exclusive one. Batman's cool. The Batman is cool. But I didn't love it that much.
Are you? Here's a question. Are you only buying physical copies for Marvel now?
No.
No,
like depending on what it is. Like I just got the French Dispatch.
Got it. But you're still.
Oh no, wait. No, actually, French Dispatch I haven't gotten yet. I'm waiting for Criterion on that. But like Criterion on all the Wes Anderson stuff, I get them when they have the sales. I got this recently.
Oh, that's cool.
Fucking great. And then this. Speaking of, Criterion,
so you guys still like? Do you guys just collect them, or do you guys seriously watch?
I'll watch.
I'll give you two. Come on. Features. Come on. Give me $2 for some cheeseburgers. Come on, man.
Menace Society Criterion.
Love that
movie. I never in a million years, if you would have asked me once upon a time, like, what do you think that Criterion will do a Menace to Society? I'll be like, hell no, there's 0% chance that they'll do Menace to Society. And they did it. It's fucking incredible.
I love that movie.
Oh, dude,
put Get Out in the Criterion collection.
Oh, that'll happen.
For sure.
That'll happen.
Give it like 5 years.
Needs a little bit of time. Yeah. Well, the Wes Anderson ones are quick now, but that's because like every movie he does is...
And they're all established. Like, they've got like the same artist doing all... Is it him? Does he do the art?
Wes? I think he does for the Criterion collection. I think he draws his covers for Criterion.
I was going to say, because they all have the same art. So it's got to be either him or somebody that he's really close to.
But you guys really watch the physical media still?
I don't... I no longer buy physical media fully.
So I buy physical for certain things. Most of the time it comes with a digital copy, and so I'll watch it off of that for the most part. But there are times when my internet's crappy or whatever, and I'll throw it in there. Like I've tried to stream things sometimes, and it'll start going to like low quality. I'm just like, forget this, and I'll throw the DVD on or a Blu-ray if I have it.
There are
things that like I have DVDs of and I wish I had Blu-rays of, like Eternal Sunshine.
It's like
I want like a special edition of it though, you know, like not like just a regular just Eternal.
So you want like an anniversary or
with like a whole booklet and everything. Like I want it to be cool because that kind of shit, like the Spike Jonze stuff, he always like takes a little extra.
You know who's really good about it is actually A24. They do a really good job of like the regular 4K like and Blu-ray come out, but then on their personal site they'll have like one that comes in like a little book bound casing with like a poster. I think that stuff's cool. I think that there's a piece of it to me that like wants physical media to get a little special again, like the way that vinyl records have remained special. Yep. It's just a matter of time though. It's going to happen. Like,
well, what's going to happen is there's going to be a, something bad's going to happen with either the iTunes store or Amazon or whatever. And people are going to realize that you're not buying anything when you're buying the digital, you're just buying a license to watch it, and they'll lose it. And they'll be like, oh, but I paid $5.99 for this or whatever. Like, well, too bad. You don't have that license anymore. And they're going to be like, oh, well, I kind of wish I would have just bought the Blu-ray of it.
Yeah.
And had it forever. It's exactly what's happening with vinyl, which is like people are realizing that you're not buying anything when you're buying something digitally anymore. You know what I mean? You don't own any of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It would have to be like Disney comes out and they say, you know what? We only want our stuff on Disney Plus. And they just pull all of it. And then people go, but I own $6,000 worth of Disney movies on here. Like, no, just kidding. You don't. Yeah. Yeah. I could see something like that happening.
It probably isn't like very likely to happen with, you know, something major.
I mean, I've lost stuff on iTunes before that I was like, oh, so I don't have that anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, bummer. But like, it's rare when it does happen, but you're right.
I wish they would alert you that like, hey, this is going off. And
yeah,
if you want to at least watch it, we understand this is frustrating, but it's out of our control.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just part of the licensing deal.
Yeah. It's part of the licensing deal. It's leaving in 2 weeks. If you want to watch it before, it will no longer be available in your library. You should do that. But I think they just don't want to draw attention to it because that is not something they want people to think could happen.
A few years ago, I basically, except for like super special ones and like that are in box sets and shit, I got rid of all the cases. And I just have these huge, big ass like CD binders.
Yeah.
That I just went in and alphabetically...
Like the one you used to keep under your car seat when you're driving?
Yeah, except I've got like 10 of them.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because I never go to pick them. It's like I never go to grab one and throw it in. Because then it's like, well, I haven't touched the PlayStation forever, so now I got to wait a half hour for the goddamn update. And so I just end up buying the $4.99 or $9.99.
Oh, I'm a million percent too lazy to do it. But Alex gave me a dope 4K Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
And it works great. So I'll pop in stuff every now and then just to be like, let me just
looks do this. Good, dude. It does look good. It looks better. It definitely looks better on a 4K Blu-ray too than it does streaming 4K. Yep. Like, no question. I'm actually, I know we're nearing the end of this episode today, but in technology talk, man. So if you guys notice, my background has changed. The people listening at home can't. I'm in a new room in the house, and I am really considering getting a Dolby Atmos soundbar for this yeah. little area, because I just know I'm gonna look like the Magnavox guy. Just
yeah,
like,
I was gonna say you're gonna look like the guy in the chair. Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna look like the guy in the chair, just like getting blasted by sound.
Hey, so speaking of technology stuff, before I don't want to miss it, but the Netflix news. We want to talk about that.
What sure. happened? I mean, I can.
What news?
Netflix had a quarterly call on Monday night, Tuesday night.
Oh, bleeding subscribers, and, right?
Bleeding
they
subscribers.
Lost, yep. They lost about 200,000 subscribers. They estimate they're going to lose at least a million more. And then the stock went down about 25%. Also ended up driving down the stock of other media companies with their streamers. CNN Plus, rest in peace after only about 3 weeks. They didn't even... They look, Quibi was a success compared to CNN Plus.
I mean, why would anyone need CNN Plus if you want to watch?
Well, apparently,
CNN,
dude, they lured like all kinds of top talent. They lured all kinds of top talent that was going to be strictly on there. They got Chris Wallace from Fox News. All the people were really, the people that have it were enjoying it because it's all this other original programming and stuff. It's just going to get married into HBO Max. That's all. Yeah, that's all that's going to happen. CNN, it's just going to be on HBO Max and the new people, because the Discovery merger and all that happened, they're going to take care of there. But back to Netflix, I'll tell you guys this. There is a new podcast called The Town. It's about twice a week, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour long.
It's great.
And it's all about like this kind of stuff. It's hosted by Matthew Bologna, who is...
Is it on The Ringer?
It is part of The Ringer.
Fuck that shit. I'm not listening to that shit.
But it's
don't worry, Chase Serrano.
It's not. Don't
stop
worry.
By.
None of
we'll
them
let
are.
You know when he's there,
so none of them are on it. None of them are on it. It's it's real. Like, it's like real reporting that you used to see all the time in Variety and stuff. But I was listening to they had a whole episode on Netflix, and Netflix has also announced that they're going to be, after since day one saying they would never have ads on the service, they are now going to be introducing a lower tier, or they're going to be introducing lower tier ads subscribers.
I will say the pricing model of Netflix has been suspect the last couple of years. I've been very like, wow, when I had the highest tier program, when I signed up for this 7 or 8 years ago,
longer
it was
than
like $9.99. Yeah. And then it was like $12.99 was a big deal.
Yeah.
And we're at what, $22.99 now?
$22.23, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, but like Squid Game's dope. Squid Game was super cool. It ain't $300, well, $400 a month cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like not a month, a year cool. So I understand why people are dropping.
Well, and it's not just that.
HBO Max and Disney Plus are kicking its ass.
Well, and they're also, that the other thing is they're also known for their binge mode. So anyways, they're also going to crack down on password sharing. And a lot of people are debating, like, is it because,
is that the right decision?
Well, people are not only debating that, but it's sort of, they're also debating the fact of like what are the pros and cons of binge mode versus say like HBO Max that does like sometimes week to week or two episodes a week, or they give you the first three at first. And it's just sort of, it's this whole new thing that, look, at the end of the day, and I've been saying this for a couple, like a year or so ago, I mean, we've all been running away from cable to essentially run back and pay one price to have all these streaming services in one package.
You're paying, honestly, if you have all of them, you're paying more than you would have ever paid for cable.
And I'm still paying for cable.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think what I have thought about doing recently, and I think might end up becoming popular, is seasonal subscriptions, which is like, yeah, I'll subscribe to Netflix again, watch for 2 months, 3 months, whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, like catch Stranger Things or Squid whatever, Game season two and then dip out.
Dude, the latest season of Stranger Things, 30 million an episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they have to do something to...
And they're breaking that up into two parts, just like with Ozark.
It's funny because before the news was announced this weekend, I was talking to my buddy who works for, I don't know if I can say this, works for a sort of a big studio on a digital delivery type thing. And we were talking about, I was just like, you know, something I've always thought about, which is like, how is Netflix making money? You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell me they're making money off of subscribers, like just not on the price of a subscription alone, because there has to be something else, right? Because the shows cost a lot, the cost to license movies or whatever costs a lot. And so even at that, like the max price of subscriptions, which is probably I'm going to venture a guess, less than 30% of subscribers probably subscribe for that max level. I'm not on it. I'm on the like second to the highest, I think, which I think is like 17 a month or whatever. Or
I share it.
What's the difference?
Like, I don't know.
What do you get different?
I don't know.
It's got something to do with access to 4K.
I have 4K. I just don't think that's 20 something bucks.
I think it has something to do with, oh no, I know what it is. The top tier is how many people can be actively watching on your account at any given time.
Oh,
that sounds right.
Yeah. So because I share my password with a few people, come and get me, Netflix.
Yeah, supposedly they're gonna crack down on that. So
yeah, good luck with that. You'll never catch me. You'll never catch me.
Yeah. See, my Netflix is $19.99 a month.
So basic is $9.99, and that gets you number of screens you can watch at the same time is one. Number of phones or tablets you can have downloads on is one. Unlimited movies, TV shows, and mobile games. Watch on your laptop, TV, phone, and tablet. And then it doesn't have HD available or Ultra HD. Then standard, which is $15.49, you get two screens that can watch at the same time. Two tablets that can have downloads on it. Unlimited movies, watch on your laptop, TV, phone, and tablet, HD available, not Ultra HD available. And then the other one is you can have four. For $19.99, you can have four people watch at the same time, four whatever downloads, basically all of the above.
Oh, that's the one I have. Yeah. So I guess it is the top one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, regardless, I think that it's still I think there are probably a bunch of people that my estimate is wrong. I think there's probably like a larger percentage of people do that, but
what did your buddy say? And when you were bringing,
he was trying to say that, like, I forget what we actually talked about, but I was positing that they are selling data. You know what I mean? Like, somehow their user data is getting utilized in a monetary way that we don't know about.
Which is not new.
They wouldn't be the only one to be doing it. You know what I mean?
If I'm not
Apple
mistaken,
does it. Google does it.
If I'm not mistaken, they have the foothold on worldwide subscriber numbers.
Well, and here's the thing, right? They never release what their shows do.
Well, and here's the thing. If they're going to move into what they say they're going to do, which I feel like was just a shoot from the hip reaction to all this with saying we're going to have to introduce commercial tiers, you realize if you introduce commercial tiers, advertisers are going to want to know what your fucking numbers are.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then you can't keep that private anymore.
Like, that's why I feel like that was not a well thought out thing, and that they just shot at the hip for a real quick like solution.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, but when we start bleeding subscribers that way, and you start experiencing losses like that, it starts to become a problem. Which is actually an interesting segue into like something that we've all talked about, which is Bob Chapek.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting to think that dude's not going anywhere. And part of the reason is that Disney's numbers are great. You know what I mean? Like their earnings are great. Their stock is going up. Well, nothing's happening.
The problem is the public perception.
It doesn't matter. Right? Because the only people that affect his job are shareholders, and they're making money, and he's not going anywhere if they're making money.
And the crazy thing is if you're paying attention to Florida, the governor of Florida just got the legislature there or whatever to basically pull like Disney, I forget what it's called. There's parts of the area and the city and stuff that
they pay like no tax.
That like they basically get to run themselves like their own government. Well, they have essentially taken that away now as retribution for this "Don't Say Gay" thing. And I was reading that it's going to cost like the taxpayers of that city, of that area now, like each individual, like at least $2,000 plus more a year on, like
oh, it's gonna. it's I mean, this could end up being like real bad for DeSantis and like, you know, that stuff, but who knows? We'll see what ends up happening with it. But either way, I think that, you know, for all of the negative things that have been happening around his regime, I was sort of thinking like, oh, maybe something will push him out, but I don't see it now. Not with their earnings reports being good and shareholders making money, they ain't going nowhere. It's when they start losing money, then you start the noose starts getting tightened.
Let's see how those new hotels work out for them.
The one in downtown Disney?
No, they just opened up the Tokyo Toy Story Hotel, and we've got the Star Wars Hotel and or the cruise or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know.
So.
It's funny because, like, we don't normally get into, like, this level of Hollywood news. It's been a while since we've talked about, like, streaming services and executive decisions. This was we haven't really gone into this subject in a good long while.
Nobody's listening anyway.
I was like, yeah, speaking of bleeding subscribers.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrell, did you like that?
Should I get my iPad out and we do a new segment? Is that what you guys want to do?
Nah, man. Hey, but we are nearing, we're getting close to Obi-Wan Kenobi land. How are we feeling about that? Based off the trailer.
Did you guys see the thing today that was the promotional thing? It was like an end cap at the store that had everybody going nuts.
I did see it.
It's very prequels.
it's very prequels, and it's very just giving away the whole cart. Like, you gotta tune into this because something's gonna happen. Did you see it, Cisco?
I didn't see it. I saw the Dexter Jetster thing. I don't know if that's joke or what.
Yeah, I tagged Alex in that.
Oh yeah, he's like coming back, Alex, right?
In a book or something.
Oh,
could you read those? They're your favorite. Look, guys, we're just hitting all the segments in the every version of this show that's ever happened tonight. Yeah. And we're doing it in a very natural just stream of consciousness.
Yeah. This is just like a normal conversation that we would have over text, but in voice.
But we've hit all the show like eras right here.
All the eras. You know? Now we're
ending back. We went from rambling quarantine stream to fucking the news to Star Wars to
Here we go. This is something we haven't done in a long time. And if you've made it this far, I'm going to hit you with a bonus right now. This is the last thing we're going to do today. I'm going to rapid fire around the horn. I'm going to ask you guys a questionnaire.
It better be about snacks.
It's not about snacks. What's left to be said? We've cleared snacks, guys. I've talked about so much snacks and eaten so much snacks in my time on this show. Oh, don't. Oh, my gosh. Oh, sir.
He's showing a bag of tahini pork rinds.
Yeah.
Bro, this is keto, Alex. You can eat that.
I know it is keto, but you can't eat it if you're not actively keto. That's the problem. It's a whole thing. It's hard to explain. Anyway, all right. We're going around the horn super quick. Don't think about it. This is rapid fire. I'll start with you, Cisco. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Return of the Jedi.
What is your least favorite Star Wars movie?
Attack of the Clones.
Who is your favorite character?
Luke Skywalker.
Who's your least favorite character?
It's going to be the same answer. The announcers from the pod race.
What color would your lightsaber be?
I'm going to go a version of purple, but it's like bluish purple. I'm writing my same answer that I
okay.
That I
and then last question. We won't do the Vader one because we don't have an entire episode to make a joke out of it.
Okay.
But and last question will be what is your favorite line in Star Wars? Is there a line that is just always sticks with you?
Do or do not. There's no try.
Love it, Steve. Are you ready for your rapid fire questionnaire?
Yes, yes.
What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
What is your least favorite Star Wars movie?
Attack of the Clones.
Who is your favorite character?
Han Solo.
Who is your least favorite character?
I don't like Sebulba.
Yeah, he's kind of a punk.
I don't like Sebulba. Like, I don't like his design. I don't like his design. I don't understand how he's able to punk people. It's just like, what is this?
If you're using your feet as hands, you're just trash. Unless you're Max Rebo.
What is happening here?
Yeah, he's borderline trash.
Oh, you monster, Steve. What's your favorite line of dialogue?
I love you, I know.
All right, I'll give you one that Sisko didn't have. If you could have any job in the Star Wars universe, what job would it be?
Cool, smooth talking, wisecracking, sarcastic smuggler that does good for people.
You would be Han Solo.
I have an answer for that.
Yes.
I want to work with Amy Sedaris.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
I want to be in that junkyard, dude, and just like hanging out with her and the robots. Amazing. That would be dope. Plus getting to hear all of her crazy stories. You know she's got a million of them.
Hey, Alex.
Yes.
What's your favorite Star Wars movie?
The Empire Strikes Back.
What's your least favorite Star Wars movie?
The Rise of Skywalker.
Who's your favorite character?
Luke Skywalker on Bespin.
What's your favorite line of dialogue?
My favorite line of dialogue is now... actually, it still is, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. Yoda's little monologue.
If you could have any job or whatever or be someone in Star Wars universe, who would it be?
I would want, if I could have any job in the Star Wars universe, I would, let's see. I would, you know what I'd do? I'd be the guy with the mop that follows Finn around in that leaking bag, like mopping up his mess. In the last year, like, come so on, gross. Man, you just joined the resistance. You're making a mess. Just following him around. Just all right.
All right, Alex. It's the end of the Empire Strikes Back. You just got your hand cut off. Darth Vader says something to you. You're not Luke Skywalker. What's he say?
Let's kick some fires, tires, and light the fire. I feel the need for speed. He quotes Yeehaw. Top Gun Maverick, the greatest movie to see on the big screen this year. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hey, Sisko, if the people want to find you at home, where can they find you?
Sisko Kid with 2D77 on Twitter.
Steve, where can the people find you? You like leaned in like ready to do it, and I was like, he's just going to do it.
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning and check me out on Letterboxd. I'm starting to get active again. Alex, where can people find you?
Oh man, I'm mad because I have a better Darth Vader joke too.
So say it. I was going to say some shit about Netflix or Bob Chaplin.
It was going to say, Luke, I am bleeding subscribers. If you want to find me, you can check me out on Twitter or Instagram or my Letterboxd Bacchus. With all that being said, we will see you next time on BSR. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with a little baby shit.
I don't do drugs. Drugs make me sick. They're bad for your body. Up with hope, down with dope.
Yeah.
I know.